We are in Genesis chapter 12 this morning, and we are speaking of our father Abraham, who we are told is our father of faith. You know, one of the old sayings about fatherhood and sonship is that we are to be like father, like son. So God gives us Abraham as the example of faith, whereby we can learn much about faith, which is so important to us because God said that he is pleased by faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. You have to be walking in faith to please God. Now, we left our last lesson by recalling the men of Babel who chose to disregard the command of God to disperse and populate the earth. For they had chosen, these men of Babel had chosen to band together without dependence upon God. You know, we always seem to desire self-dependence. But we're not made that way. We're made to depend upon our Maker. God made us, but we're not finished unless we depend upon Him. And these of Babel chose to depend upon themselves, depending upon each other to strive and labor together in building a great city and, of course, a monument to themselves that they might glory in their labors. Now, monuments to men do indeed follow such a course, for men worship men. You go to our Capitol building in Washington and walk through its halls, and you will see men in statue form because of some greatness that they performed, where men actually glory in men's labors. And this is what took place by these who chose to depend upon themselves and chose to be away from God's dependence. Now, God's word is filled with promises of blessings, but the men of Babel pursued blessings in the product of their own labors rather than in the promises of God. But you know, God will always have His way. You can always depend upon that. God's will be done. Now, God's will is over there. To get there, He may go in this fashion to get there, but He will get there. He will get there. His will is always done. He will always have His way. So He quickly confounded the language, and thereby dispersion and separation took place as God had so ordained. God's will be done. So in generations to come, God raised up His servant named Abram and gave him a command. And what took place in his life was in effect a reversal of what the men of Babel attempted. He found a man who would trust in him. He found a man who was not self-dependent. He found a man who was dependent upon God. Now, that's what faith is all about. Moving into the realm of faith, you drop self-dependence and turn to God-dependence. Now, we read of this in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. My, what a passage, how full that passage is. And can you imagine how when Abram heard those words from God, you would fall on your face before God? How can this be? How can you take this person and do this through this person? Now, I don't know Abram's circumstances in Ur of the Chaldees, but most likely Ur was a place of stability, of security, and family. For this is where Abram and his family dwelt when this command came from God. But God called him to leave that city and exchange that life of works to a life of faith, walking day by day at the behest of God. You know, when I was saved, I moved from a life of works to a life of faith. Never regret it, not one day. Because when your hand is in God's hand, He knows the way, and you trust in Him, for He'll bring you down to the right place as He guides you through life. But God promised to make of him a great nation and blessings and a great name, blessing those who bless him and cursing those who curse him, and promising that through him all families of the earth will be blessed. You know, there's consequences. God always has consequences. This is something that we depart from in our modern age. We kind of push consequences aside. But there are consequences in life, and God brings consequences to those who curse Abraham. Now, this, the men of Babel, sought by their own labors, a life of works, but God blesses lives of faith, so their dreams were scattered with them, as they fled Babel and filled the earth as God commanded. You know, their dreams were scattered. Oh, poor things. Their dreams were scattered. But they didn't obey God. You know, if you obey God, He'll bring you along to the right place. But Abram had a choice: to obey God or go his own way, as did the men of Babel. That choice is given to all of us, for God has provided His word to all with specific commands to join His family and do what His family is called to do. Are you in the family of God? You know, you're not born into the family of God with the physical birth. You have to be born again into the family of God through the act of God Himself, where His Spirit comes upon you and brings you into the family of God. Because you are born of what? You are born of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. You were born of your mother, but you have to be born of the Spirit in order to be in the family of God. Now, we call God's command to Abram a covenant, but this word covenant does not appear with regard to Abraham until chapter 15, where specific details of the covenant are spelled out. This is where the word covenant comes in, around chapter 15. But it begins here in chapter 12, where the general features of the covenant are given. Now, three major promises are contained in this covenant. The three are a land, a seed, and a blessing. Now, Abram set out to a land called Canaan, but did not know where he would be in that land until at Shechem, where God promised to give this land to Abram. When his feet were on the land, God said, "This is the place, this is the land that I will give you." And it would not be until chapter 15 that a full description of that land was given. And if you turn to Genesis 15:8, you'll find this verse. "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'Unto thy seed have I given this land.'" Now notice that "unto thy seed." Not Abraham would never have the land. But unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So by this description, we see a large land. You know, you look on the map and you see Israel today and you see a tiny land. You don't see the land that was promised to Abraham, but here in this promise, you see a large land, a land much greater than Israel has ever been, but a land which will be realized when Christ sits on the throne during his millennial reign on earth. This will be true in fact. It will include the present land surrounding Israel, and how far it goes into Saudi Arabia is not known, but it could include all of that land. So you can see how great this land was, from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates, which is in Iraq. Now, Abram was promised this land, but it never belonged to him in his lifetime, and God told this to him clearly in Genesis 15, 13 through 15. And he said unto Abram, Know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And by the way, this promise that is afar off, and yet Abraham by faith had this land. He saw this land afar off. But there shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And we'll find that out as we study the book of Genesis and Exodus, where they served in Egypt 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. You know, God uses nations to judge his people, but then watch out, he's going to judge those nations. So if you're a worker for God, you better work it right. You better do it right, because you'll be judged otherwise. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Remember the children of Israel coming out of Egypt filled with gold, filled with jewels from the people of Egypt, and those things were used for the building of the tabernacle. So what a lesson this is for us. For faith may carry you beyond the grave, as it did Abraham, for God will indeed give this land to his seed. God said it, you can count on it. It will happen. God's will be done. You know, you think about the excitement of Abraham's seed coming out of that land of affliction where they were making brick with straw, toiling long hours in the heat of the desert sun, into the land promised to their father Abraham, and knowing firmly that God keeps his promises. You know, if you walk by faith, you walk in that light that God keeps his promises. You know, I've thrown all my hat into God's ring, and I depend upon him to keep his promises. Do you not? Do you not believe that God will keep his promises? Well, he did for them, and he will for us. But God's second promise to Abram was that he was to be the father of a great nation. Now, the men of Babel longed for this, but their longing required the labor and the toil of their hands. You know, it's ironic. It's ironic that people work a lifetime with their hands, toiling with their hands, creating dreams in their minds, and it's all in vain because it wasn't done by faith in the ring of God. What a shame that is. What a tragedy it is to go to hell and to live your life for yourself. But God's promise of a great nation was given to a man who believed the principle of Psalm 127:1, which says this, except what? The Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Right there it says it, in those little tiny, that little tiny verse. It says it all. God builds the house, and we've got to enter the house through the Lord Jesus Christ. And unless you do that, you're laboring in vain in building your own house. I don't care how much money you amass, how much wealth you amass, how much power you amass. It's all in vain because you cannot take it with you. And even if you could take it with you, it'd be no good in hell. But they labor in vain that build it. But God blesses Abram through his fatherhood, through his children, through his descendants. But namely, he blesses through his ultimate descendant, Abraham's son, yes, but also God's only begotten son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God blesses Abraham through his descendants, for he brought into our lives Abraham's descendants, God's only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no doubt, Abram heard this promise, and I'm sure that he wondered at this promise because his wife Sarai was barren, and she was up in years and past the season of birthing. Again, God placing in front of Abram hindrances to belief, but by faith, hindrances to be overcome. You know, there's a lesson in walking by faith. God puts hindrances in your walk that your faith be strengthened to overcome those hindrances by faith. You know, God says the just shall live by faith. And he puts in place things that make this happen. That word shall means it will happen. So if you are saved, God moves you into the realm of faith, and things will come about where faith is required of you. Now take Josh and Amy. Look at the things that are in front of them. Look at the faith that they're called upon to express. And don't you think when those things are overcome, their faith is stronger? Don't you think that's true? I can see it true in their young lives. So the just shall live by faith, and God will make it happen. And this is what takes place on the narrow way upon which Christ has placed you, where you walk by faith and not by sight. My, if we can get that into our heads. What is the walk of faith? You're not looking around. You're not looking down the road. You're not looking around the corner. You're walking with your hand in God's hand, knowing that He'll bring you through. So God has so ordained this. So be careful in thinking that all your plans and dreams will come out your way. They won't. They won't come out your way. For you are of God, and God has plans for you which always trump your plans. You know, you can't figure out the way that God will bring you. You just have to trust that God will bring you there. So God promises Abram a land, a great nation. And thirdly, in verses 2 and 3, blessings, for God says, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So herein God promises blessings upon Abram. You know, he's promised blessings upon me also. My requirement is to obey God's word, and blessings come. I mean, God makes it that way. He makes it that way, and he promises blessings upon Abram and blessings upon his descendants, but he also promises curses upon Abram's enemies, them that curse Abram, and by inference, his descendants. So take note here of the importance of being in the right camp relative to Abram, for there are two camps, one blessed, one blessed, and one cursed. Where are you in that equation? You know, when God sets up camps, what takes place in those camps is assured. As I said, God's will be done. And if he says those that curse Abraham will be cursed, that will take place also. So we're to be a blessing to those of Abraham, God warns. God warns very carefully. You know, for every persecution, oh my, how there were persecutions of the Jews in the past wars, in the past days, in the past centuries, in the past millennia. But every persecution that takes place or will take place against those of the family of Abraham will be avenged, for every curse against them will be met by the curse of God, for he has promised. So Abram was set apart. You know, one of the things that was very prominent in the ministry when I first entered this ministry almost 50 years ago was the preaching on the doctrine of separation. How important it is to live a separated life. Don't let the culture determine your way. This is what determines your way. We are to be separated unto the Lord. We are to be a unique people, a peculiar people. Not clowns, not people that are funny about things, but different people, separate people. And Abram was set apart to become a blessing to men of every nation. Now, we pointed this out in previous lessons by showing the preponderance of the important contributions to the world by Abram's descendants. We mentioned those several lessons ago, on how much the Jews have contributed to the world, Abraham's descendants. This was part of the blessings that God put in place in Abraham's descendants and Abraham's nation. Remember the contribution to the Pharaoh by Joseph that will be played out in the last part of this book. The son of Jacob, who because of his relation to the God of Abraham, provided for Egypt for the 7 years of famine. That was a direct result of his relationship with Abraham. And also remember those of Abram's descendants who, through the direction of God's Spirit, were yielded to him in order to write the Scriptures, our Holy Bible. Look at the Bible that we have because of Abraham and his descendants. But I believe the greatest promise, of course, given to Abraham is that all families of the earth will be blessed, a promise which can only be pointed to a Messiah, a worldwide deliverer from the curse of sin. You know, Jesus Christ himself told us of Abraham's response to this promise as recorded in John 8:56. Jesus said this, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." You know, he heard this promise of God that all families of the earth would be blessed. Oh, that's going to be a Messiah. That's going to be a Messiah. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." You know, all of the line from Eve, all of the seed of Eve, all the way to Abraham, all the way to the Messiah, directed that salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all upon that line remembered that promise. But Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost, both of Abraham's descendants and all the rest. For as God promised Abraham, of thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can you think of a greater blessing than to have a Savior, one that you can call upon and put all your hopes in and just cling to him, knowing that he will keep his promise and that he's going to come again and he's going to say, come up hither. And oh, you know, I won't have to say, well, I don't know how. I don't know how. All of a sudden we will be lifted up into his presence. Amen, and praise the Lord. So Abraham is not only the father of the Jews of faith, but he is the father of all those of faith. For faith is what unites Abraham's children. You know, our divisions, there are so many divisions of faith in the Christian church, as exemplified by the many denominations and various groups, past and present, and they mean nothing to Abraham, for only faith in the God of Abraham brings us into his family. Read Galatians 3:7 through 9. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's the uniting thing, to be in the family or to be a child of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see how important it is to be in the family of Abraham. So Abram's father, Terah, had died, and the time to leave his father's house had come. Didn't leave his father's house in Ur of the Chaldees, going to Haran, lived there many years, but now Terah had died. He had left Ur many years ago to journey to Canaan, but not in complete obedience to the word of God, for he had not left his father's house. The command was still there. The promises were still promised, and therefore we read of Abram's move from the comforts of Haran to the unknown of Canaan, which is, by the way, a normal event on the road of faith. Now, if you enter the road of faith, you can expect to leave the comforts of Haran to the unknown of Canaan, because God leads on the road of faith. So in Genesis 12:4 through 9, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And then you have 5 words there, which are going to get Abraham in trouble a bit. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old, and he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. Remember, his brother had died in Haran. And in fact, his brother's name was Haran. He had died in Ur of the Chaldees prior to their leaving. So Lot was probably almost like adopted by Abram. And all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. Remember, the Canaanites were the sons of Canaan, who was the son of Ham, the son who was cursed because of Ham's actions with Noah. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. This is where this land has started to become more specific. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. This was a normal thing to do in those days. When the Lord appeared, you would build an altar unto the Lord. It became a holy place, a place of remembrance, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Now, in the epistle of James, he writes of Elias, and this Elias is the prophet in the Old Testament named Elijah. And he calls him a man subject to like passions as we are. I'm glad that James recorded this because it's a good reminder that the giants of the faith that we find in Scripture were not men or women without flaws, without sins, and without failures. You know, God has said this, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes the prophets. That includes men like Elijah and Elisha and Joseph, those famous giants of the faith. And so, in line with this, we find this relationship in Abram, for he too, as we have, had feet of clay. Have you looked at your feet lately? They're feet of clay. You know, God took the dust of the ground, and he formed Adam, and from that formation of Adam, you came forth. So are we any different than our father Adam, our father Noah? They all had feet of clay. And you know, clay doesn't have much strength. You have to bake it a lot to get some strength out of it. But they had feet of clay. Abram had feet of clay. And as we said last week, Abram's walk of faith was in bits and spurts. Now, Moses, the writer of Genesis, leaves nothing out in matters of his failure. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about the Scriptures. God doesn't make things all positive about his beloved in the Old Testament and the New. Moses leaves nothing out in the matters of his failure, for his account of Abram's initial steps toward and in Canaan left much to be desired as to a solid walk of faith. You know, God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, but Abram did not leave his father's house or his kindred. Now, did Abram leave Ur with a purpose to obey God, or were these other reasons having to do with Terah desiring to move toward Canaan? And when Terah stopped in Haran, Abram again did not leave his father's house until his father died. So God had to do something in order to move Abram toward the promised land, and that action was the fact that his father no longer lived, and he couldn't accompany him any further. So perhaps God even took Terah in death in order to remove those hindrances that kept Abram from walking by faith. As we've said, the just shall live by faith. God's going to work it. He's going to work it. If you are on the road of faith, God's going to work it that you'll walk in faith, that you'll live by faith. So I think then, and I'll finish this here, this lesson, we can conclude that Abram obeyed God in faith, but in the beginning, he took baby steps in faith. You know, this is the nature of all of us. This is the example we all seem to follow. But you know, baby steps, and you have some little children that are taking steps. You have little children that are walking in baby steps. But you don't want them to walk in baby steps for 20 years. You know, that's kind of dopey. You know, who wants adult babies walking in baby steps? What that leads to toddler steps, and then that leads to children's steps, to young men's steps, and then to adult mature steps. God gives us this flow to show us that faith flows that way also. We're to grow in faith. And we see in this passage here as we study Abraham's life, Abram's growing in faith, and soon he will become the man called Abraham. Father, thank you again. Oh, we're so blessed to have a father, Abraham, who shows us what it means to walk by faith. We want to please you, Lord. Oh, how we want to please you by walking in faith, not going about making dreams and plans and things that satisfy us, but seeking thy will that you might be satisfied with our walk of faith. Do bless our pastor as he speaks to us. Help us, Lord, to pay attention. Help us to gather our heart together that it might not drift into other things, but help us to take the word of God in that we might grow in faith, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.